Good to go? All right, it is February 24, 2021. It is 5 p.m. It is the regular meeting of the Sewage Commission Orville Region. Manager Sturdivant, roll call, please.
Yes. Commissioner Reynolds.
Here.
Commissioner Pittman.
Here.
Commissioner Hatley.
Here.
Commissioner LaTulip. Not here. Commissioner Keener.
Here.
Commissioner Fairbanks. Not here.
One was absent, but we do have enough for a quorum, one for at least each member entity. Okay, if we could go ahead and stand and face the flag, salute, pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, acknowledgement of visitors. We don't have any. Five, board meeting minutes. So we'll entertain a motion to approve the board meeting minutes from our regular meeting on January 27th.
I make a motion that we accept the minutes.
Okay.
I'll second.
Motion been made by Commissioner Reynolds, seconded by Commissioner Keener to approve the regular board meeting minutes of January 27th, 2021. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstained? All right. Six, authorization of warrants.
Yes, Mr. Chairman Hatley, Commissioner Fairbanks and I went over the warrants yesterday. Checks 25680 through 26625 in the amount of $1,150,990.87. Those included payroll checks 9944 through 9949. Commissioner Fairbanks, who's not here tonight, showed no concerns and said all looked in order.
Read the amount one more time.
$1,150,990.87. So I actually discussed that actual number with Lori Pittman, our secretary today, and 500, and I knew this going in, but 500 and 22,000 of that is a wire transfer from our checking into our LAIF account.
Okay.
So it's not spent. I asked her why it's on the warrant list like this, and she said it's just always been done like that, and I said, well, this is the last month. So next month, our warrant list will actually be bills that we paid, and we'll have a separate category for a transfer into our own from one account to another, just so it doesn't look like we spent $1 million because we
didn't. Okay. All right.
So, yes, I saw the same thing when I went, what? We spent $1 million.
I was making sure you read it right.
Yeah,
sorry.
No, I did, but yeah, it's just the way that it's been organized here, and this will be the last month you guys will see it like that.
Okay. So was this, the only thing I could think of is it would only pop up annually when you move that kind of money into the LAIF account that we approve, or... Because it's...
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. All right. Well, I like that you're going to correct, not necessarily correct it, but moving forward, that will not be
exactly
showed as an expenditure, but...
Exactly. I didn't like the way it looked. I thought,
right,
because it takes explanation for me to, you know, and I was like,
okay,
why have it, anything that needs explanation when you can just have it black and white on paper? So.
Right. Okay.
Can I ask a quick question? As a matter of routine, do you normally, when you transfer money to LAIF, you do it only once a year?
No. She does it. She does it
on a regular basis?
Yeah.
Does the commission approve it every time?
Via the warrant list like this.
Okay.
If I may, usually the warrant list includes, it will say expenditures and includes electronic transfers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It should read out.
Yep.
Right.
And then you got the two compiled.
Yeah, that's probably a better way to show it.
Yeah. This one, I think, I didn't see it, but that's just how it's stated, and then you see both the two.
It's right on top of it.
Yeah.
The interesting thing, if that had been attempted today, it would not have happened because the Fed's been down all day.
Ah.
I was at the bank earlier this morning, and the U.S. Fed is down right now. Couldn't do anything. Kind of weird. Nobody even in the news is talking about it, but Tri-County's bank said the Fed's down for some reason.
All right, let me find it here. So I'll make a motion that we approve the warrants as explained by the general manager in the amount. I'm trying to find what paper is it that actually has the amount on it.
I didn't want
this one. No, I'm not seeing that
one. It's a separate.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
All right, sorry. In the amount of $1,150,990.87.
Second.
Okay, motion been made by myself, Commissioner Hatley, seconded by Commissioner Reynolds to approve the warrant list, again, in the amount of $1,150,990.87. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Okay. Seven, fiscal report.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I included them in the packet for this month for you guys to review. All is in order.
Okay.
I'll make a motion that we accept the fiscal report.
I thought this was just like a...
Information, yeah.
Right, informational only, yeah. No action needs to be taken on these. Okay, excellent. Thank you anyway, though.
Yeah, I'm so overzealous.
That's right, trying to get this 15-minute meeting out of here. All right, eight, Provost and Pritchard Consulting Group requests for a budget increase for funding application in the amount of $25,000. So Ken is on Zoom or Skype or however it is. So Ken, if you want to go ahead and take it away.
Yeah, I submitted a contract amendment to the land a week and a half ago. We have been helping the district for going on 2.5 years with funding applications for investigating various funding options for the new wastewater treatment plant, the upgrades, and due to a number of reasons that were outlined in my contract amendment request, we've done quite a bit of out-of-scope work, work that we had not originally planned on. Some of that revolved around the campfire and the funding opportunities that Gora thought might be available and were told would likely be available and didn't pan out. And then there were, you know, other issues that we looked into, went through the whole rates for a 5-year period to get rates in place to fund the improvements through whatever funding mechanism was selected. Let's see. And then last March in 2020, Jacobs went through a value engineering process on the wastewater plant and proposed some fairly significant improvements to the plant. We'd already done quite a bit of work, especially in the environmental documents. And so we had to back up and recreate some things and do some additional studies. All of that resulted in approximately $48,000 of out-of-scope work. I confused the issue when I submitted this in calling one of the tasks that updated wastewater improvements. And Glenn thought that what I was referring to was work around the plant side, like the emergency pump station and some of the other stuff, but it really related to the improvements that Jacobs was designing. So that's the discrepancy between my $48,000 and what's on the agenda right now for the $25,000. We do need to get $48,000, but if the board can only authorize $25,000 tonight, that's great. But I would request that at the next board meeting that the additional be authorized.
So to explain that to you guys a little bit, when he sent me this the amendment to the task order, and he said, and he had $16,000 down in wastewater treatment plant improvements, I thought, like he said, that those were the work he had did here on the plant. So I subtracted that from the total amount that he wanted, which was $48,000, and that and some other items there. And that's why the $25,000 is on the agenda tonight, because I did not think that I thought it was a separate account that those were coming out of. And we can have a further discussion about the way Scott and Ken dealt with the monies, but I prefer to do it a different way, and I'll explain myself to you guys. But anyways, that's a discrepancy. So really, Ken needs $48,000 more to finish what he's doing. But I subtracted those other amounts from what you're seeing, because I didn't understand that that's what he was asking me for. So I can get you guys that scope of work that he sent to me. I didn't include it in the packet because I didn't understand what he was asking for. So that's my fault. Anyway, so that's the clarification on that. I misunderstood what he was using the monies for.
So if how much was it originally to do the budget or for the funding applications? Do you remember how much the original amount was?
I do not.
I believe it was close to $200,000.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I can go find it.
So close to $200,000 for funding applications, and then of course we kind of got off the trail and tried to look for other funding sources. That none panned out.
None panned out. At least at that time, none panned out. I will ask to kind of research into another one of those opportunities later on here in this meeting. That didn't pan out at that time, but yeah, at that time none of them panned out for him, and so it was just wasted hours.
So do we have a itemized thing of the hours that they?
Yes, Ken has submitted itemized bills to SCORE. Okay. And so yeah, we do have to track where he put it, where he spent his hours on. Yes.
Okay.
And I can pass all that out here. Like I said, I was confused on the total. And that's why I just gave you the $25,000, because I didn't realize that the other money was for something else or was attached to this. I thought it was about plant projects, in which I would pay for that out of my regular professional services budget. That is part of the yearly budget. I didn't realize it was for extra money. So,
originally this $200,000 was budgeted for this.
Yes.
And so now we're looking at $48,000 that is not budgeted. To move forward with funding applications.
Yep. That is exactly right.
Where are we at with the process?
Thank you.
Ken can speak better to that, but we're real close to the finish line, Mr. Mayor, but I'll let Ken explain.
The environmental documents should be submitted for staff review this week. The project, the engineering report should be done in another couple of weeks. That will come to SCORE staff for review. Once we get that put together, then the environmental document will go out for public review and comments. That is all said and done, a 6 to 8 week process to get comments back, get it to the state clearinghouse, address the comments, and then bring it to the board for action.
So, maybe I'm not looking or seeing it correctly. The $48,000 or right now the $25,000 that was presented in this packet, is there documentation in here showing what exactly it's going to be used for? Or do we not have that in our packets?
It's not in the packets. No. And that was part of the confusion. I can go grab that and I can pass it out real quick if you'd like to take a look at it.
Well, I'm trying to see if we're this close. I would like to know what the $48,000 is for if 100%. We're this close.
I can go grab that right now.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, but it wasn't in the packet.
While he's grabbing that, Mr. Chair, you can, if it is the pleasure of the board, this has been agendized for $25,000. The Brown Act does require that you give a general description of the item to be considered. It is not specific as to amount, so if you wanted to amend it from $25,000 to whatever number you deem appropriate, that would be fine tonight if you want to do that. The smaller the change, the better. I wouldn't recommend going into a six-figure change without republishing it in case someone from the public wants to know that.
But, right.
But you would be within your authority to amend that number should this board desire to do so.
Okay. Thank you.
Is this the same thing where they asked for more money and we said no? This is something
different.
Something different.
This is not the same thing.
Right. Different item, if you will.
Okay. They had anticipated answering questions or something.
It was to help the new manager, like, kind of get through the...
Yeah.
All right. I'm just kind of wondering why we're just hearing about this.
Right.
Well, yeah, somewhat the same. I don't know why we didn't see an itemized thing.
Right.
In the packet. $48,000 is a lot of money in addition.
Another almost, what, 25%?
25%.
Yeah.
And who, is that the cap?
Thanks, sir. Thank you, Mr. Manager.
Sorry that they weren't in the packet. I'll get you one. Scott.
Funding options.
So the funding options were the number of programs that I was asked to investigate. They included AB 101 programs, Cal OES programs, FEMA, the IRWM programs, USDA, and we did look at the WIFIA programs. All of those came about right after the campfire, over coming in, talking with, I believe, the board and staff about monies that were available and what could they do to help the area recover. And so we looked into half a dozen different potential funding mechanisms. For whatever reason, they all kind of just fell away. There were requirements buried in there. Some, the area didn't meet the economic recovery criteria, other things like that. So.
So, commissioners, as you can see, he's outlined on the back page here what he spent the $48,000 that now he's requesting from us on during that time period, why he doesn't have it to spend it on our current SRF application. One of the things that I didn't like about the way that went down, and he was under direction from Scott, so I'm not going to blame Ken, is I would have preferred that Scott would have come to you guys and said, hey, we're going to chase this extra money. Can we get an extra $50,000 to chase that extra money rather than pulling it out of a fund that you guys had already approved for SRF? I think it should have been handled in two different accounts, essentially. But he was just drawing all out of the one $200,000 account that you guys had already passed. I think it should have been organized differently.
Can I have a question? We understand that the census currently being done is soon to be out in April, May. Will the census help us in terms of population numbers for any of these grants that are being worked on? Or the updated census help?
The only thing that would help is if Oroville were to become a disadvantaged community, economically disadvantaged community. Right now, the income criteria, Thermalito and LOPUD qualify, but the city does not. So that would really be the only thing that the census would help on is the income criteria.
Gotcha, thank you.
There's no backup data here or anything. What we have is an email that was typed out with a bill. Where's the timesheets? Where's the records for that stuff? Because here we are, how many months into this, and all of a sudden we get handed a bill for $48,000? I'll tell you, I run a construction company, and that's not the way it works. You have to have backup data for all this stuff. If I typed an email like that to the people I was working for and said, give me $48,000, it wouldn't be going very far. So I would like to know where's the, and not to question anybody, but we just need to be better organized than that. That's a lot of money to just be, to get a page and a half email and to write a check for.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And again, I think we're again seeing more issues from the previous management here that we're having to deal with and clean up now. So Ken, is the original amount that was budgeted gone?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. And so you still need $24,000 for funding options? I'm just trying to figure out. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, but what I need is the $48,000 so I can complete the work that we were originally under contract for. The scope of work that we entered into with SCORE was a time and materials contract to investigate funding options. And we knew that we were going after clean water SRF funding. That was a kind of given. But we also knew that there were potentially other funding mechanisms that were out there. And I sat in several board meetings with you guys and previous board members after the campfire with people coming and saying, like Cal OES, we spent a lot of time with Cal OES because they said that they could fund a significant portion of the plant project. And I finally got to talk to the people that actually did the evaluation criteria. They said that no, for a number of reasons, that it wouldn't qualify for funding. I think at the time there was just a lot of confusion with some of the funding agencies about what they could and couldn't fund, and some people knew and some people didn't. I think the board was interested in chasing down any free money that was out there. And so as part of our exploration of funding options, we chased after some of that money.
Do you by any chance have an email or a letter from the previous general manager telling you to proceed with those funds to look for those other free monies?
Well, there was numerous emails. I'm sorry.
No, that was the question.
Yeah, no one cut you off, Ken.
There were numerous emails back and forth that the previous staff knew what I was doing.
Okay.
And attended meetings with me, suggested funding options. I attended several meetings down in Sacramento with Cal OES on their funding programs. And this was, a lot of this was reported back to the board, whether I reported it or what the previous general manager reported. It was, the board at the time was very interested in these options and having them chased down. So that's what the staff and I did.
Okay. So would it be, I'm sorry, would it be fair to say that a lot of the monies were used on basically man hours, not necessarily applications, or it was basically man hours trying to see what was available, Ken?
A lot of it was attending meetings, emails, phone calls with the various funding agencies and putting together their pre-application checklists.
Okay.
To submit.
Right.
And most of them, they did that online through their various websites.
Right.
And I don't even know if those are still, that was 2 years ago.
Right.
I don't know if those websites are even now, active anymore.
Okay.
Well, I'd like to see some of that correspondence. And I would like to see the backup for this, because we just have funding options, $24,000. What does that mean? That's what we need, Ken, or what I would need, Ken, is to know how your company arrived at these numbers. You must have some data that was put together
where you sat down and you added this up and said, this is what it is. So we would like that information as well, because this is, it's pretty vague for something, and I hate to use the term blindsided, but this is concerning to me. Not saying that anyone's integrity is in question, just simply being a responsible party of this board, we need more than this.
We have submitted in detailed invoices on a regular basis to the board. And I mean, they're approved by the board monthly. You know, I kept the staff and the board, you know, aware of what I was working on.
Well, I'm wondering if we were under the understanding, if I was on that board, I don't know if I was or not, but if we were under the understanding that this money was coming out of, what fund it was coming out of.
Yeah, I'm trying to, I think I might have been on the board at the time. I mean, I'm trying to remember 2 years ago if I would have been or not at the time. I could have very well have been. And I'm sure, because when he's talking about us saying yes, be active, looking for these other funding sources, I remember that. Not realizing, I guess, maybe that it's coming out of a certain budget that eventually, that maybe, well, I guess we probably thought that it would work out, not that none of it would pan out and we'd be kind of needing to finish up with where we should have stayed on.
And see, that was my concern, is just that the separation of what we're spending money on. That was what I was referencing when I said I didn't really like the way Ken and Scott handled the monies, is I would prefer to see, this is for this, this is for this. So we have an itemized list.
And we asked,
because when I got this, I was blindsided as well. I was like, wait, I thought we already had approved and paid for that. And now all of a sudden I'm getting hit in the last inning for $50,000 more.
And that would be my question. If we've been given invoices monthly, then how come it's 2 years later that we're addressing paying for it? I mean, typically we pay our bills.
Back in February, when Ted Couch presented the value engineering analysis for the wastewater plants, I was at that board meeting, and I was blindsided by that. And I told the board at that time that was going to have some significant ramifications to the funding applications that we were putting together. And I told the board that I would make every effort to complete those funding applications within the budget. But that, plus the other funding options that we explored, had impacted our budget. And I did talk to the board about that in
February of 2020?
Correct. At that meeting when Ted presented the value engineering options.
It should be in the minutes.
Yep.
I wrote that. And requested direction from the board to make some significant changes to the plant layout and the plant processes.
Okay.
Okay.
So what we're doing right now, we're going to try and get a copy of the minutes from that time, and so we can review it.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I wasn't here. Were you here?
I could have been. I remember the presentation he's talking about, where they talked about the change in design of the plant repair or improvements. That was a long meeting,
wasn't it?
Yeah, because we had the long
discussion. It may have actually happened in March also, because I think that it happened over the course of 2 months. It was presented, they went back, and then it was presented again in March.
Yeah.
It was detailed in the contract scope adjustment number one that I submitted to.
So then I assume in those meetings that we told you to go ahead and proceed and see what you can find, and funding for grants or whatever?
Well, that in the March of 2020 meeting was solely about the plan improvements and the changes Jacobs was making to the plan design. The other funding improvements had happened long before that, probably almost a year before that.
2 years.
Yeah. 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd like to see those monthly invoices and why they haven't been addressed at every meeting.
Well, yeah, I don't know how he's submitting what he uses of that $200,000+. Does he submit something monthly on that to score on what hours are billed and what they were billed for?
Ken, do you on that on from the original budget of the $200,000, was that something that you submitted to score monthly on work that was done when you did work regarding this?
Are the invoices submitted monthly? Is that the question?
Yes.
Yes, they are submitted monthly.
Okay. So we've been getting the invoices, or the general manager was getting the invoices, because I don't remember.
And not presenting them to us?
It board meetings.
Did you ask him after 18, 19 months of not getting paid, why you hadn't been paid? The previous general manager?
I'm sorry, we've been paid. We're current with being paid.
They basically have ran up to that original
$200,000. So they used the money out of our original deal, and yeah. now he says he did something else.
So what he's saying is he was given permission or authority to search out these other funding sources that was different from the original scope of the mm-hmm. contract, if you will.
Yeah.
And none of those ended up panning out. And so that's when I asked him, what basically was it man hours billed that ate away at this budget? And he said, yes, it was attending meetings, submitting for applications to these various agencies and their websites. And all those hours of doing all that is what ate up part of that budget. And so now he's sitting here going, we need another $48,000 to finish off what we're doing.
Ken, quick question. Are you identified as CH2M Hill?
No.
Well, I'm looking at our recent billing, and we're paying CH2M Hill.
It's Jacobs. They've been bought. Jacobs is the engineering firm.
But I'm saying our thing here didn't reflect that change in the name.
I'll make sure Lori gets it.
I'm sorry. I'm not affiliated with Jacobs or CH2M Hill.
Okay.
That's just on her QuickBooks.
Well, and I know, and that's we need to change that, because if you're looking at invoices paid monthly,
understood.
You follow me? That we could easily be confused.
They'd be upset when they get their 1099.
Well, they're not around anymore.
They're owned. They were bought out by Jacobs, but I will make sure she changes that.
Yeah.
So forgive me here for playing catch up here, but I just got slapped in the face here. So,
yeah, it's my fault. I'm sorry about
that. So this, your company, Ken, is you do consulting for us? That's what you do? There's no engineering or anything?
Yes. It's engineering.
It's engineering, but also consulting. I'm wondering why would we use them to find funding sources?
I don't know.
Previous manager decided to go that route. I don't. Okay. I'm not sure what the reason behind it, or if it was a familiarity with Ken, because Ken has been working with SCORE for quite some time, ranging back to when Ray was the manager. So I don't know if it was just a familiarity thing, or I've often asked the same question: why it wasn't all just done in house at Jacobs. But it wasn't my decision to make at the time. So
right.
Okay. Well, it does state that.
Yeah. I mean, I fully believe that we probably were, have given direction, the board gave direction to search out these other funding sources, which ate away at the original budget. And so here we are with Provost and Pritchard need another $48,765 to finish what we started originally 2 years ago. That's kind of how I'm looking at it, is we gave direction to veer off the path and to find some things that just didn't pan out, and
I think,
now we're paying for it.
Sorry to cut you off, Mr. Chairman. I think what the communication is probably what would have helped out at this point. If we said, we went down this road, that cost this much money, and it didn't pan out, so now our budget, and had a kind of a running total. Now maybe Scott, former manager Scott Coach, had that. I could not find that. I tried to go through all of his files and see if he had a running total, so that made sense, that I could bring here and show you guys, well, yeah, look, he spent this money here and this money here, and that's why it's not in the original $200,000. I could not find that.
Wouldn't that be in the monthly invoicing they send in?
Should be.
Referencing that contract number or that PO number?
Should be.
What does the monthly invoice look like?
A bill that says this.
Just a line item. Just pay this.
It's a little more than that, but it's not, you know, it's not real detailed.
Man hours billed, man hours, is that on there?
And it'll say, you know, for this, or man hours for this. But like I said, I wasn't privy to any of these bills 2 years ago when this was happening.
Yeah.
So I can certainly dig all that information up tomorrow, ASAP, and get it out to you guys. But
I guess at this point, what is the pleasure of the board to move forward with paying this or getting more information and bringing it back at the next meeting?
I think we have a responsibility to get more information, because this is, no disrespect, but I would never get paid off of a bill like that. I guarantee you, I'm being raked over the coals right now on jobs for man hours and costs. Even my own material that was out of my own stock, show us the original invoice where you, I mean, I just think that we need more. This is pretty relaxed.
So then,
amount of money.
Right, so then direction is given to General Manager Sturdivant to get the monthly invoices from everything previous up to this point, to have at the next board meeting in our packets. Do we need anything from Ken Shuey, or do you think you have everything?
I think Lori probably has everything. If she doesn't have everything, I'll get with Ken and get it.
Okay. Go ahead, Ken.
Just one more comment. We'll have to suspend work on the project until we can get this resolved. Like I said, we're close to the end of our contract. We'll finish the environmental document and get that to Glenn for review, start the staff review on that. And then once we get this resolved, I plan to finish the project report and get that in for review by staff.
Okay. All right. Then we will have this placed on the March agenda.
I will put it on the March agenda.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thanks, Ken.
Thanks, Ken.
K9, adoption of the contract between the Sewerage Commission and Cole Huber LLP for legal services and consideration to authorize the manager to sign the contract. I don't know, for some reason I thought we already dealt with this.
I thought we did too.
We did, but we didn't sign the contract.
Okay.
So yeah, we're kind of bringing it back just because of that. We didn't have a contract in hand to sign last time. So
okay.
We just want to make sure it's all buttoned up.
Okay.
And Mr. Chair, if I might, I want to make the record clear. There is a quirk in the government code under Section 1090 for this item, I cannot sit as your general counsel and also have a contract that I have a financial interest in. So for this item only, I'm not your general counsel at the moment. And I just need to make that, because I can't.
You're fired for a minute.
For a moment, I'm just stepping out of the, but as it relates to this item, any comments I make are in my capacity as a member of the firm and not as your general counsel.
Okay.
That's
fine. So do we need to make a motion again to accept this? All right, I'll make a motion that we adopt the contract between the Sewerage Commission, Orville Region, and Cole Huber LLP for legal services. Do we need to authorize you to sign the contract, or you sign it?
Yes.
And authorize manager Sturdivant to sign the contract?
I'll second it.
Motion's been made by myself, Commissioner Hatley, seconded by Commissioner Reynolds, to adopt the contract between Sewerage Commission, Orville Region, Cole Huber LLP for legal services, and authorize manager Sturdivant to sign the contract. Is this all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstained? Okay.
Done.
All right.
Okay, you're rehired.
I'm back on the clock.
Okay. No, there's a quirk in Government Code 1090, just provides for.
Right. Yeah.
And when I said that, yes, we have to do it, I was legal counsel for that moment.
So how much do you have to excuse
pro bono. Pro bono. I don't understand anybody knowing the law.
Jesus. All right, we'll jump down to 10, resolution 0221, establishing repayment of funds expended from the capital outlay reserve for the construction of the solar array project. So, Manager Sturdivant?
Yes, Chairman Hatley, this is what we discussed about last month, and where I wanted to change the resolution to not reflect an actual date, but just reflect that that we would do this after we got the true-up bill from PG&E. Mm-hmm. And so we got the true-up bill for PG&E, so that's what this resolution is regarding.
Okay, so how much was the
true-up was $322,000, I believe.
It's $320,973.56.
Yeah, it's on our fiscal thing, yeah. Okay, and so what are we looking at? I'm looking at this resolution here, and I don't...
So first we need to adopt the resolution, and then the next item is you guys to approve how much.
How much, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we approve resolution 02-21.
I'll second that.
Okay, motions are made by myself, Commissioner Hatley, seconded by Commissioner Keener to approve resolution 02-21. Manager Sturdivant, roll call, please.
Yes, Commissioner Reynolds.
Yes.
Commissioner Hatley.
Yes.
Commissioner Keener.
Yes.
Okay, that's done. Then we'll jump down to 11, annual transfer of funds in accordance with resolution 0221.
Yes, so since we changed that time, and I wanted to go in and give you guys an actual more detailed or more current number on what we're actually saving out there. So I kind of went over it in my manager's report on how we came about that number. Mm-hmm. Essentially, we just looked at that $320,000 bill from PG&E, looked at how many kilowatt hours that paid for, got an average cost per kilowatt hour, and then looked at our solar production from our solar field, our solar array, and used that kilowatt hour production total times the cost that we paid PG&E to come up with a score savings of $243,510.66, which I am requesting to transfer $100,000 into the annual repayment to score itself.
Okay.
And that $100,000 is pretty much what's been done the last 5 or 6 years. But they just kind of had a different way of going about showing their savings. And no offense to previous managers, but basically they looked at it and said, when we put in the solar field in 2000, 2002, our PG&E bill was $200,000. And then they just started using that number to decide how much they saved. Well, PG&E's gone up a lot.
Right.
So I didn't feel like that, you know, obviously that's not a good way to do it anymore. So that's why I instituted the different way to figure out what the savings were. But
good.
The money's going in the same place. But I just wanted you guys to have a more of an accurate idea what that solar field's actually doing. And it's awesome. I mean, you saved score $250,000. So. Yeah. Or close to it, so that's it's really doing what it's supposed to do.
Does Core own that? Or
yeah, oh yeah,
they own it.
Yep, mm-hmm. Yep. No,
so we paid for it, and that's what we're paying ourselves back.
Yep.
Is basically.
So, why didn't they make it? No, the true up. What is the reason for that big true up?
So basically, our bills are like $20 a month for the plant until. At the end of the year, then they give you like an annual bill,
okay,
basically, and they call the true up.
Line usage plus.
Yes. Your $20 a month used to be $12 a month. It's a meter charge.
Okay.
They charge it for the meter because.
And line usage.
Why I don't know.
Yeah.
The true up bill is one of the three legs of the three-legged table we used to also acquire the solar. They only charge you once a year, so we were able back when there was. Remember the day when you got interest on your money? Well, we were able to save our $300,000 annually for the year and earn interest off it.
Yeah.
And that used to garnish us, I don't know how many thousands of dollars. But you only made one payment in the year. And it was $100,000 less than the previous year.
Okay.
And that's it. Now, it's the only piece of merchandise in this plant that we pay ourselves back on. You don't have to. You can use that money however you see fit. So that was something I recommended to the board, and the reason I recommended the board is because we used $2,480,000 of the people's money out of the Capital Reserve Fund, and I wanted to pay that back. PG&E paid the other half. So for us doing this, I wanted to pay the people back, and we've done it. I think you're way ahead of the $2.48 million, because Glenn's right. We never took into consideration the actual savings of the increased rates. See, yes. I bailed out of here 9 years ago. So,
right.
But yeah, you're so far ahead of the game. It's not even funny.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why you have a $20 a month. It's a meter charge.
Yeah.
So.
All
right.
My solar works the same way. They give you the same bill every month, and then at the end of the year, because some months you might use more, some you might use less. But you pay the same amount every month,
right.
And then at the end of the year, they look at the overall.
I built mine to take care of the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
The only bill I get is the meter.
I should have had you.
Other than that, that's it.
Yeah.
Well, I should have had you.
But then the future, when we see the plant improvements, where they change over to the aeration, the subsurface aeration system, and get away from these expensive mixers. Our electric cost will go down.
Well, the blowers will use quite a bit of power.
Well, I understand that, but it's going to be a lot easier than manual mixers.
Yeah, well, the engineers think that with the UV and the new, more efficient system out there, we should be about the same.
Yeah.
With our electric bill,
okay.
We shouldn't get a giant increase or see a giant decrease. We should just kind of hang out about the same.
But the efficiency of the final product is going to be a lot better.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Do we need a motion to pass this?
Yeah, I believe you guys need a motion to for the transfer of funds.
Number 11, the annual transfer of funds in accordance with resolution 02-21 as agenda size.
In the amount of?
In the amount of, I think it's
$100,000.
Second.
Motion's been made by Commissioner Pittman, seconded by Commissioner Reynolds to approve the transfer of $100,000 in accordance with resolution 02-21. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstained? Okay. Number 12, adoption of job descriptions and policies 2861, 2862, 2863. Rated for new positions in score management restructure, policy 2861, lead operator, policy 2862, plant supervisor, and policy 2863, environmental compliance supervisor. Manager Sturdivant, you want to run us through these?
Yep, so we went, as I spoke about last month, when we presented these to you in the board packet last month, me, Mike Asolci, and former manager Ray Souza went over these with a fine-tooth comb, and we think we've come up with a pretty good job description for all three that incorporates the redundancy and cross-training, both in certifications and knowledge that you guys made very evident that you wanted when I first took over as the manager, and I think we've done that. I think we've done a real good job on closing any holes that there might have been in the job descriptions and making sure that we get the right people in the right positions.
Okay. Has our legal staff had an opportunity to review all the work?
They've been given our personnel policy. I don't believe that they've reviewed these new job descriptions.
I did review these in the packet.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, okay. It was emailed to me. I reviewed them.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I thought they looked really good. I liked the restructure. I liked how that, we talked about this being a priority and we're seeing it. So thank you for that. No, go ahead.
The only other thing I didn't see here is the short phrase of any other duties that may be required.
Other duties as assigned.
Yeah. As assigned.
I thought we kept that on there.
Yeah, I thought we put them in too.
Is it? Where?
But we look at so many different
on versions. The job description, plant supervisor number 14 performs other duties as assigned. I thought we kept it in on them.
Performs other duties as assigned, yep. And so lead operator, I'm not yet.
Dang.
Nope. Number 6, perform other duties that may be required by the commission.
Under
6.
On lead operator.
Lead operator, it's number 6.
Okay, there it is.
On the orange one, it's 14. And
on the pink one.
Did we miss it on the pink one? I thought we kept it in.
That's probably where I missed it.
I do not see it. We might have missed it on the.
Well, I sure like the fact that a lot of work's been done.
Yes.
I think it's an exercise that is tedious and time-consuming, but
it is.
I think it also needs to be done every half a dozen years because things change, rules change, all kinds of things change, and the last thing I think we ever do is put it actually in the job descriptions. Those changes. Mm-hmm. I think it's very valuable work to be done.
Well, it's really the only reason I say that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because
exactly.
It's touching.
I got nailed by an employee because I had him do something else once.
That wasn't specifically
and it wasn't
in his job.
Specific in his job description.
Understood.
If there's a motion to approve these, you can amend 2863 to add that in as an additional requirement.
Right. I'm in agreement with that. Yeah, any other questions from the board or legal counsel regarding these three new job descriptions?
Good work.
Yeah. I think it's great. It really feels good to be so organized and have everything.
Definitely.
Because then we can go to it and say, well, this is what it says. Rather than, well, somebody, I talked to so-and-so out by the tank, and he said that it would be all right. You know, it just feels good to be headed towards this organized position.
The other action that I might just suggest, or I'd like to see happen, is once the board approves these, then the at least two members of management sit down with each person that is being affected by this new job description, let them understand it. Instead of just here it is, have a one-to-one meeting.
Understood.
I think that would be a very valuable exercise to be done.
So I believe at least one of them is sitting here, and so you helped write this and understand. Do you know who the lead operator is?
I have not done, there's two operators that are qualified for it, two operators that both showed interest in it.
Okay.
So I have not done interviews, so I do not have a name to give you.
And so the environmental compliance supervisor is the current
Lab, yes, chemist.
And has, what's her name?
Kendra.
Has she been?
She has not, she saw the,
I'm just curious.
She saw this last month, and, uh-huh. and she did get a copy of it last month, and I had her go over it to make, because she knows her job better than I know her job, so I wanted her to make sure. So she has gone over it. She's on maternity leave now, so she won't be back until June. But yes, she did have a chance to go over it, and Mike can attest, we brought her in several times and said, this is all going to happen while you're on leave, so I want to make sure that you understand exactly what you're agreeing to here. And so, she said, yes.
So two of the three positions are...
And the other two have seen them too. The other two, but I don't have a name to give you for a specific person right. That's going to no, be that. But they have seen that. They have seen it.
I understand. I'm fine the way they are. Like I said, besides the 2863 adding the line item number which says perform other duties that may be required by the commission or however. That's what's written on 2861. Other perform duties as assigned. I think on that. So I'll make a motion that we approve policy 2861, 2862, and 2863, with 2863 having a line item added that says performs other duties as assigned.
I'll second that.
Okay, motion's been made by myself, Commissioner Hadley, seconded by Commissioner Pittman to approve policies 2861, which is lead operator, policy 2862, plant supervisor, and policy 2863, environmental compliance supervisor, with 2863 having the line item added to read perform other duties as assigned. Policies, do we need all in favor, is this a roll call?
I believe this is a
this all
all in favor.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't believe this is a roll call.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Okay, so all in favor?
As long as the minutes record everybody's vote, it doesn't matter.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstained? Okay. Good work. I thought that was really good. Like I said, I'm very impressed that this was an issue that we wanted to see, and that it got dealt with very quickly in your starting on this. So, and I appreciate Ray's help.
Good job.
With all this as well, and Micah's, so good work. All right, so now I guess we'll jump down to 13, proposed pay scales for new positions created in SCORE's management restructure.
Yes, Chairman Hadley, we went back to the Bryce Consulting salary survey, and unfortunately for us, she didn't have a lot of information on these positions. These three positions were not covered in her scope of her work. And that's probably due to the uniqueness of SCORE and how we're a very small outfit and we got people doing a bunch of different jobs wearing a bunch of different hats. So to the best of my ability, what I did is, and I wrote this up in my manager's report, is I compared us to the other grade four plants in Northern California. And I left out some of the cities and agencies she used on hers. I left out most of them because we're not in direct recruitment competition with those facilities. They're grade two facilities or grade three facilities. What you can do there, you can't do here. So I just wanted to do apples for apples and compare it to people that we would be directly recruiting against, or cities or agencies. So I used Redding, I used City of Chico, and I used City of Yuba City. As you can see on the salary comparison that I included in the packet, for plant supervisor, Redding was 4801, Chico was 5373, and Yuba City was 4877. What we did there is we took, for our plant supervisor position, my recommended hourly wage would be 4827, which if you compare it to Chico, Yuba City, and Redding, it's right in line with them. And basically all I did is add 10% to what the plant supervisor position was previous before you guys wanted that position to have a grade four.
So that was a good, because that was a question I was going to ask, is this more, how much more than the previous
10%
position? So perfect. Okay, so thank you. So even with 10%, we're basically right on line with, we're not on the high scale, we're right on the line. So is this 4827 topped out?
That's the top step. That's the top, and I used the top step for all the comparisons. I didn't use, so for instance, Micah, he will not start at the 4827. He will start at the first the step that gives him a raise that he's not losing money to take a higher job. So he'll start at step six, actually.
And so how many?
Which would be, let me look on the other sheet here.
So 4614?
Yes, exactly.
Which is a raise?
Yep.
Yes?
Yep.
Okay. And then?
So then I did the same thing with the environmental compliance supervisor. Now hers was a little bit trickier, and you can see from the numbers here, because basically we're combining two jobs. And most places have enough work in each of those jobs that they can't do that. So they each hold their own individual position. And as you can see, Reading 4881, Chico 5782, Yuba City 5268, those are their environmental compliance managers, and that's all they do. Here at SCORE, any future employee doing it would be also doing the lab. So I included the lab pay on that line as well. So the lab position in Reading is $39.52, Chico $35.29, Yuba City $45.91.
And how much more is that for her or the position?
The position tops out currently, her current position as the chemist or the lab tech, she removed it off of this sheet, I believe it was $39.08.
So if I can just speak openly on this, would you say that environmental, sorry, I want to get the name of it right.
Environmental compliance supervisor.
Is more in line with plant supervisor or lead operator?
Probably more in line with lead operator.
Okay.
Now, this is another topic that we'll have in the future. As the FOG programs are implemented more into the three entities, which I've talked to the managers about, she might gain a lot more responsibility. Now that's your guys' decision on how that goes later on in the future. But FOG, which is fats, oil, and greases, is becoming a huge issue. I don't wanna get too far in the weeds here, but our program that deals with that basically refers to your entity's programs that deal with that. So we get off the hook by saying they have their own FOG programs. Now, if those FOG programs aren't being taken care of and done the correct way, all of us are on the hook for that, because we're now saying we're relying on the City of Oroville to do it, and if City of Oroville's not doing it, you're in trouble, and so is SCORE. So in discussions with the managers, they've said, man, we wouldn't be opposed to you guys handling it. Now, that's a decision that's far above our pay grade to make. That's your guys' decision to make, but I'm just telling you what we've kind of discussed. So to answer your question, that position could be have a lot more responsibility than it currently does.
Right.
But currently, right now, I would say the plant supervisor has a far more responsibility than that position would.
Right, and I understand that. I guess I'm looking at the pay, and for it to bump up $2 an hour, adding more responsibilities on this, and then looking at what these other agencies, I mean, as far as just the ECS, it's considerably higher, and even just the lab, one is $4, almost $5 an hour more. One is just barely under, than the other one's about $5 or $6 less.
Is that because you called them, you only got the wages for the managers? Is that what you said?
For the environmental compliance, okay. the managers of
those. Manager's going to have two or more people below. Mm-hmm. Okay, we don't have that here, do we?
No.
So
they're responsible for themselves.
Themselves, yeah, and the two and the lab and
yeah.
And I, to be very frank with you, commissioners, the lab, there's only about 25 hours of work, of lab work a week in that laboratory. Now, Kendra's awesome, and she stays busy, and she does other things for us, and she takes on other duties to fill in those. But, you know, when I talked to her about this, and I said, Kendra, in my opinion, you've been getting paid a lot of money to do 25 hours worth of work for a long time. So, you know, us giving you a little bump and asking for actual 40 hours worth of work isn't crazy. But that was my opinion.
Okay.
And so I think it's more than fair workload. Micah can attest to the environmental compliance side of it. There's not a ton of that workload either. At certain parts of the year, that cranks up. But for most of the year, there's not a whole ton of workload in there either. So
You know, they're both kind of seasonal. The laboratory has quarterly, semi-annual, and annual reporting and sampling that they have to do, and those events can be time-consuming for her. And same thing with the environmental side. Annual reporting can be time-consuming. December, January are busy months.
Are these positions salaried, or are they, I mean, could they work overtime?
Everyone here can work overtime except for me.
Okay, I was just curious on that. Okay. No, I mean, if you're good with it, it is a bump from what it was.
I was just curious to see
kind of where in that, and so I appreciate you saying that you felt it was in that lead operator stratus. So I'm good.
To me, I think it's a innovative way to combine those two tasks necessary.
Yes.
The lab technician being environmental compliance just makes a whole lot of sense.
I think so too.
It does. Makes a lot of sense.
Okay. And then on the last one, the lead operator.
And the lead operator, the way we kind of broke that down, and I felt like, because the previous, you know, the lead operator position was part of the environmental compliance. So it wasn't a full-time, and I felt like, to reference what Commissioner Pittman said, by combining those two positions, we gained a full-time lead operator out of this, is essentially what we did, which is awesome. And so when me and Ray and Micah looked at the job descriptions, we felt like we can make the lead operator in charge of maintenance, and you know, and that could be his baby. And also, because Micah's gonna come up with the operational plan, and that would be his baby. So we felt like, it was not quite the responsibility that my former position, the former plant foreman, had, because that position was in charge of operations and maintenance, where this is going to be more just in charge of the maintenance. So I felt like, and we already had a lead operator position that was on our old Appendix 2 pay scale that was tied to the environmental compliance OIT position, and like I said, I don't want to get too much in the weeds. That was a long time ago, before Micah had his grade 3. He was an OIT and the environmental compliance manager, but we had a pay scale already set for somebody that was pretty much doing lead operator duties.
Right.
So I just kept it. I just felt like it was already there. It was a good enough bump to make it worthwhile for somebody. And when I went and looked at the everybody else's pay, it seemed to just fall right in line.
And so what is this jump to 4113 compared to what one of the other people currently make?
So they, the top step on the grade 3 operator is 3708. So it's a $3 raise from the top step of that.
Okay.
But extra benefits come along with that job. So that job's not only are you receiving pay, you are now out of the on-call rotation with the other operators. You're now in the supervisor on-call rotation, which is every other week, but you're not the first guy getting the call. You're no longer working holidays. You're no longer working weekends. So there's more than just monetary benefit from getting that position. You're getting, you know, your schedule's better. A lot of things are better for you. So I once again, I felt like 4113 was fair, but wasn't too hard on our budget.
Okay.
Essentially.
If I can add just one quick thing. One of the things we looked at with the lead operator position was the forthcoming construction that's going to take place during the two major projects. You're looking at probably a five, six year span. At the end of that 5 or 6 year span, I guarantee you'll have another project. The projects are not going to stop now, A, because of the age of the plant, to the environmental conditions that's being set forth in the River Basin plant. There's always something you're going to have to do. You need that one person that comes in every day and does the daily O&M operation maintenance. Because these two gentlemen are going to be pulled in different directions, as you can see how it's starting to happen now, even greater than when I was here. So you need that one person that's going to be assigned to O&M operation and maintenance. Every day he comes in, he takes care of crew, he takes care of this, because he'll be in meetings, he'll be out here with a white hat on. But this is a half a decade that you're looking at that's going to take place here. It's going to be horrendous. So that's how we kind of come. We wanted this lead operator position to take the pressure off of these guys, because it's going to take off. For what's going to happen, you have a pretty small crew. But that's just my two cents I want to put in.
Sure. Yeah, that's exactly good observation.
No, I think this looks well. I actually liked that I saw the numbers. So I'm like, okay, I like that you did Redding, Chico, and Yuba City, and you used comparable plants to do it. So I thought you did, again, another really good job on this, and you explained why you want to set the pay where it is. You justified that in my mind, and you also spoke that you didn't think it'd be too hard on the budget, so I know that you're obviously thinking of how this is going to work with the budget, so I think you did a real good job.
Yeah, I agree.
Just out of curiosity, both plants in Redding are on the same page?
Yep.
Are there any other questions regarding the pay scales for the new positions? No?
I would make a motion to approve.
Okay. I'll second it. Motion been made by Commissioner Pittman, seconded by myself, Commissioner Hatley, to approve the proposed pay scale for the new positions created in the scores management restructure. Which is for the plant supervisor, the environmental compliance supervisor, and lead operator. Do I need to say the amounts on those? No? Okay.
Unless you're modifying them from what's printed? No.
Okay. So, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Okay, the next one should be easy. Adoption of the hourly wage schedules required by CalPERS. So, since we just adopted these new pay scale for the newly created positions, we need to approve an updated hourly wage schedule to satisfy CalPERS requirement. So I'll make a motion that we approve the new hourly pay schedule for CalPERS.
Second.
Motion been made by myself, Commissioner Hatley, seconded by Commissioner Reynolds to adopt the hourly wage schedule as required by CalPERS. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstained? Okay. 15, budget increase request from Jacobs Engineering for task order number 29, which is the auxiliary influent pump station. That's a... I second that. Looks like they're asking for not to exceed $88,000, which would bring the total budget to $204,000.
Yes, Chairman Hatley, that is regarding the new influent pump station that we are currently waiting for the grant to come through on. And
the grant came through, didn't it? You're just waiting for the release
of the funds. The release of the funds, yeah. I misspoke there. And so... part of this, and I wanted to explain this to you guys so you understood it and get your direction here. Part of this is when they're going to do the influent pump station, they're going to have the whole ground up there open, obviously. So some of these things, like you see on here, odor control piping, rag removal screen replacement, the electrical distribution coordination that they've detailed in this, is essentially referring to things that are going to happen during the big upgrade, what we're looking at in 4 or 5 years. So our thought process on this, Jacob's thought process, and me and Micah agreed on this, was to do this now rather than wait, and to pay actually anything that would be above and beyond what the grant was for SCORE to actually pay for it out of its bank account to get it done. I have two reasons I think that that's the way to go. First off, if we wait 5 years and finance it like we're going to do for the rest, it's going to cost more money. I mean, that's just the name of the game. You know that. You're in construction. Second reason is, why go dig up ground, pay for somebody to dig up ground that you've already paid somebody to dig up for before? So now, as I wrote my manager's report, Scott told me that he had direction from the board to pay for a new bar screen out of the bank account here at SCORE. I looked for the minutes. I couldn't find it. I didn't, you know, I'm not saying Scott was not telling me right. Obviously, you guys are all telling me that's true, so that's good. So that is part of this, adding that to the bid documents for the influent pump station would include, that's why the rag removal screen replacement is on here. They made Scott had made a different change to the plant drain flow meter vault with the influent pump station, so that's why that's on here. So, yeah, my recommendation is that we go with, give them the $88,000 to do this. I believe it's going to save SCORE a lot of money in the long run to get this stuff done now.
So is this change order then either all or partially from direction that you were giving Jacobs or asked for?
Some of it was, yes. As far as the odor control piping, yeah, I told him that I thought that would be the best way to go, and I would come here and ask you guys to go that direction. So yes, some of this is based on conversations that I had with Jacobs.
I'm glad to hear that, because I just didn't know if it was all of a sudden they were coming going, oh yeah, by the way, we need another $88,000. So at least you're in the conversation with them to do some work. Like I said, why it's here. So yep. Yeah, if the ground's tore up, we might as well do it. Then, put everything back together, and then a couple years down the line, let's tear up what we just had.
Exactly.
So I understand that. Okay.
I'm going to make a quick suggestion that we keep a really good paper trail of all finances, because the board does change, and you need that. So we don't go through what we're going through right now with Jacobs on that.
Understood.
$48,000.
Yep. Understood.
Yeah.
Okay. I think one term we use at cities, set up a cost center for this particular task.
Yes.
And that cost center comes, everything in and out costs that same. And I think QuickBooks will do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I was kind of referring to with them just. You guys gave them $200,000 to do one task, and then they just start pulling out of that $200,000 to do other tasks without a paper trail associated with it. That's why I was kind of like, that's why Ken was on the Zoom, and I'm not asking.
We're on the hook now where all our work stops.
Yep.
Because we get this.
Yeah.
So now all of our stuff stops.
Yep.
Because we haven't given this.
And you can see the difference in the way I handled Jacob's request, where I'm asking in their favor because I understand it, and the way I handled Provost and Pritchard's request, because I was like, you can ask him for that because this seems wonky, dude. Sorry, excuse my language, but
technical legal.
Yeah. That's the way I felt about it, and so that's why I was like, Commissioner Reynolds told me a long time ago, bring it to the board. So that's, I said, you go make your case to the board.
Cool.
So that would be my my recommendation on this one would be to do it, because I feel like it's money well spent that'll save us money in the long run.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we approve the increase not to exceed $88,000 for task order number 29 with Jacobs Engineering. So I'll make the motion, seconded by, we'll say, Commissioner Keener, again, to approve task order number 29 in an amount not to exceed $88,000. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstained?
Aren't okay. Votes for money supposed to be roll call?
No, we thought that before.
That's not true.
No, so there's really only two reasons. If you have a that's next. If you have a consent calendar, where you have 50 items that you're just taking one vote on, then the government code requires a roll call vote for that.
You pull an item off and individualize it, and then they want a roll call on it.
Yeah.
So they can see why.
So we did have that discussion before anything with monies. It was a roll call and had to be unanimous. So now Commissioner Reynolds pulled up the JPA, provided us all a copy, So like today, if you would have voted no, and it was yes and yes, it still would have passed, even though it was monies, because it wasn't. The only time that it needs to be unanimous is if it's basically if we're accruing a debt.
Mm-hmm.
So if he was like, hey, we're going to go out for a loan for $88,000, then it would need to be consent 3-3-0.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're spending our own monies, a 2-3 would pass it.
Okay. Yeah, bonding, and if you want to float a bond or incur any indebtedness. It has to be unanimous.
Unanimous.
Okay. If you set the regional facility charge or service charge, rates and charges, that's in the JPA.
So what was the example for the roll call?
I think that's how it's written.
It's not the one that I read.
All right.
Yeah, I combed it. I combed it pretty good. It may have been in a previous version.
I've been
this was just amended in 2010.
Okay.
So it could have been the previous version.
All right, we'll jump down to 16. Budget increase request again from Jacob Engineering on task order number 34. Wastewater treatment plant upgrade final design. This is an amount not to exceed $63,000.
Yes, Chairman Hatley. So same thing here. A couple things came up at the end here. Once again, me and Micah were up in, and I put this in my manager's report, up at Jacobs, and we talked about some things that had me very concerned. Part of their design was to continue to use the old anaerobic digesters, one of them for a backwash EQ tank or equalization tank. And I know both of you on the tour both made a point to point out those stairs falling, the concrete falling. So those buildings are the worst shape of any buildings on the facility. And I just thought, if we're gonna go and spend this kind of money of the fee payers' money of Oroville, we should not leave a giant safety hazard sitting there to be taken care of in the future that's gonna cost more money. So my direction to Jacobs was, let's look at getting rid of those, whether we, is the new process even require a backwash equalization tank, which I don't believe it probably would. And if it does, can we figure out a different way to go about doing it? So that's where you're seeing this, is that they're going to go about figuring that out.
How old are those tanks?
1950s?
50s?
Oh, really?
58.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And my actual concern was, if we're using it and something in it fails, I can't send an operator there in good conscience to fix it. So now a big part of my operation is out of service, and I can't fix it because it's falling in on itself. And it's been forever since Scores ever had a giant upgrade. I don't foresee another one coming anytime soon, so why leave something like that sitting
there? When you see concrete destroying itself, it's time.
It's time, yeah. Exactly. And, you know, it's a safety thing as much as anything else.
I have a brand new vehicle with bald tires.
There you go. There's no reason for it. So, I didn't want to overstep. That's why I told Jacobs I'm going to come back and ask them for this, because that's not my call to spend $66,000 of Scores money without their permission. But I truly feel it's the right way to go. I do not believe that
now, those things should stand. Now, don't be a historical study to indicate if those tanks have any historical significance.
I've never heard of that in a wastewater treatment plant.
If it's over, 50 years old, it could have cultural
part of the
it
the environmental.
The same as it did in 1950.
as part of the environmental document that Ken Chewy was preparing, cultural resources study was prepared, and the environmental document that he's going to submit to us will most likely need to be revised. Hopefully those will be minor revisions just to include this, because the cultural resources study already includes the clarifiers and the rock piles around here.
But it doesn't include those.
But it does not include those tanks. Okay. So, I don't know, we'll have to see the report when he gets it to us this week. Mm-hmm. And see what will need to be included. We'll have to cross that bridge.
Well, Mr. Manager, I really appreciate the way you do your homework, and it feels good to be on the same page, because you are already understanding what we want and what we're going to accept. And because I'll tell you, I appreciate that.
Thank you, sir.
Because it means that you care and you're paying attention.
I very much do care, yes. And I just don't want to see SCORE have to redo something and spend money that there's no reason.
It's embarrassing.
It is.
Well, wasn't the original design of those the methane digesters?
They were anaerobic digesters.
Anaerobic
digesters. Exactly.
So they've been repurposed to something that they weren't designed for.
Yes.
Been breaking down since day one.
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah, they need to go. I mean, that's the truth of the matter. They need to go.
Okay. So, entertain a motion.
Okay, I make a motion that we increase, or the budget increase request for Jacob Engineering of $63,000 for task order 34 be approved.
Second.
Motion made by Commissioner Keener, second by Commissioner Reynolds to approve the budget increase for Jacob Engineering for task order number 34 in the amount not to exceed $63,000. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstained? Okay. 17, attorney's report.
Nothing other than thank you for again for the second vote of confidence on the agreement. In talking with Lori, she had mentioned, well, look, the agreement, not everybody has seen the agreement, and I immediately agreed and said, then throw it back on, and you know, not a problem. So anyway, thank you very much. I have met with some of your staff, with Glenn and Mike, and we're sort of putting together a task list of things to go over. So
good.
And one of those would be review of the general policy manual.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, welcome, Scott.
Thank you.
I'm very confident with your services.
I actually like the comment that Commissioner Reynolds made, is that we have somebody that knows the law. So I like that as well. All right, 18, manager's report. Anything else you want to talk about during your manager's report, sir?
Yes, sir, there is. So as far as operations and maintenance here at the plant, we've had no issues. Everything's been running smoothly. But I did receive information from Loepud and Thermalito Water Sewer District that their crews found problems in our interceptor pipes. So we have a pipe here from our Loepud vault, which is their flow meter that runs up the hill here past the log yard, and I was showed a video from 2012 that I requested that Dan give me a newer video as well, and he said that's not a problem, but it showed holes all the way through it, leaks all the way through it, which is no good. When scores come into the table and requesting that you guys go to your managers and have them fix INI, and we have our own INI, that's kind of not a great thing, not a good look. So same Thermalito, same thing. They found during the, when Lamon Construction had their little snafu over there on 162 and buried some stuff that they weren't supposed to, and Jamie and Thermalito handled it very quickly and effectively. But during that, they were videoing all their lines. They videoed our lines, did us a very big favor. We appreciate that, and they found cracks in one of our sections of pipe that needs to be fixed. So at this point in time, I'm only bringing it to your guys' attention to let you know that I'm gonna be out looking for the best way to handle these problems, whether that's us doing it or, you know, maybe contracting out to do it. The one on the hill, for sure, 100%, we'll have to get a contractor in here to do that. We can't do that. The one in Thermalito, maybe, but even then, I don't know.
Just send Duke a notice that that's within his sphere of influence there. And we're going to do that fix.
Exactly. What's funny, because Duke's line actually ties into that line there. So, yeah. So it's kind of funny. Their yard's right there next to it. But so anyways, I just wanted to give you guys a heads up that I am going to be looking at that. It's just another thing on my laundry list here to get done here at SCORE. So the next thing I was hoping to bring to you guys for the third auxiliary pump here, I've been talking about it for like 2 months with you, and Larry helped me out big time, and we got a price reduction on that from the sole source. Yes, we did, but we're still working on the VFD specification, so okay. That's why I didn't bring it to the table this meeting. But next meeting, hopefully, I'll have some information and a cost for you guys on that. The plant upgrade, I kind of already went over that. I included that in my manager report, but that's basically what we talked about, the anaerobic digesters. The influent pump station, Micah received an email today that basically said you guys are in the same place you were. Last time we sent you an email, you got the money, but we haven't released it yet. So that's the update on that. One thing I did want to bring up and ask for permission from you guys to do was investigate WIFIA funding. As well as the SRF funding. Now, Ken is doing the SRF funding currently. Me and Micah did some preliminary research on WIFIA. We didn't want to go too far because we wanted permission from you guys to do that. But the WIFIA, which is the Water Infrastructure Finance and Innovation Act, they're giving out money left and right. It's kind of an expensive process to get through, but it's almost guaranteed if you make it through. And the cost doesn't come, correct me if I'm wrong, the major cost for the application doesn't come until you're basically
through the initial process, which means you're going to get the money in the first place. Now, I'm not asking you guys to go out and get this. I'm asking you guys for permission to investigate this and bring you guys some numbers of what this would cost. This is not a grant program. It's another low interest loan program, and it'll only cover 49% of the project. But from everything we've heard about SRF and state revolving funds, I could have grandchildren before that stuff comes through. So I'd like to try to work on other angles here at the same time to try to figure this out.
Good idea.
Because time is not on our side with this upgrade. So there's that. I wanted to ask for direction and whether or not you guys felt it would be appropriate for me to go out and look for those funds.
I would say so. I would agree, yeah.
Okay, will do. We'll start tomorrow. To keep you guys in the loop on our hiring, right now, me and Micah completed the first round of interviews last week for the, we advertised it as OIT 1, 2, or 3 position. We got 16 applicants, 14 of them were OIT applicants, 2 of them were grade 5s.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're very much probably overqualified for the position, but
Was it scary for you?
We interviewed them, and one of them was really scary for me. I'll leave that.
Let me guess. He's not interested.
He wanted, I think one of his comments was, does the board get involved in my salary? Mark you on the list right there on that side of it. But anyways, I thought that was funny. I was like, you're in the...
Are they from somewhere else?
Yeah, he was.
Chicago
was.
Or something.
Yeah, he's from the Bay Area somewhere. Yeah. I was like, we're in the first 5 minutes of this interview and you're asking me about my board and you negotiating with them.
Oh, no.
Okay, I see where we're at. So anyways, so we got through the first round. We're going to bring back 8 of the applicants for a second round of interviews, and I think we got some strong candidates. I think we're going to come out of here with a good person. We have 4 probably that are leading the charge right now, and 3 of them are local. So, that's a good thing. That's a really a good thing. One more thing I wanted to give you guys the heads up on for the end of the final of my manager's report is the Ruddy Creek Pump Station. You guys are going to hear me talking about this a lot in the future, especially with the building happening out there. I've told you before, I believe it's at its capacity. I'm looking for direction from you guys to investigate that, to make
Where's that pump station at?
It's on Highway 162.
It's at those little 5 horsepower, or 10 horsepower pumps.
Yep, Deming pumps, yep.
No, unless they've been replaced.
No, those are Demings over there.
Okay, that's not the one I was thinking of.
The other one is the flight. We have the submersible flight. That's Feather River Pump Station. Okay. Those are big though.
There's another small station out there by one of those developments that are flights.
So that's probably the Lakeside station. That's Thermalito's.
Yeah. Oh,
that's
okay.
Thermalito's station there. And that's one of the problems with Ruddy Creek is those pumps are bigger than the pumps at Ruddy Creek.
Okay.
So if those pumps come on and run at full capacity, Ruddy Creek goes underwater.
Yeah, that won't work.
So that's one of the issues with Ruddy Creek. Ruddy Creek's kind of, Ray had Ruddy Creek, the project right up to jump off. Jamie can tell you the same thing, right up to jump off. And for whatever reason, the other manager that took Ray's place that was in between me and Ray didn't do anything with it. To me, it's every bit as important as that influent pump station, which is super important. So I just want to let you guys know I'm going to start investigating that too. I think it needs to be replaced wholly.
And if I can comment?
Yep.
You know, and just so there's no shock and awe in this whole thing, I think Ruddy Creek upgrade's been in place since the late 80s. It just came with Orville. Orville's typically a no-growth town, and that's why the city has committed to upgrading at their expense the Ruddy Creek Pump Station since 87, I believe it is, and Kurt Hunter wrote the letters. And I want to give you the reason, and then I'll shut up. The reason why the city's on the hook for this is because the good-natured city, which this is, I got to give them credit on this. When SCORE was formed, Area 26 is your area out there, Thermalito was the sewer agency. SCORE was formed to take care of that. The city wanted to develop the airport, so they did. They annexed, they did the streamline annexation, the last one in the state of California, according to Stephen Lucas at LAFCO. and then they annexed the city in, and they needed sewer. You know that ground out there doesn't accept water. So SCORE had no obligation to sewer it, because it was an afterthought. So the city said, look, it will take care of the impacts, and at that time, the interceptor was much more than ever needed, but the Rudy Creek was the limiting factor, because it was basically built by Ringel and Associates for Harlan Avenue, Fresno, and the trailer park. So the city said, look, we'll upgrade for you. So I found these, we were on our hands and knees looking for them here in the plant, and we found the documents and stuff like that. But just so you guys know, SCORE will probably ask, you know, you
city's aware,
come to the table and we can start discussing. The plans have already been drawn. And when I left here in 12, I had the plans in the file and handed them off, but the plans are 30 years outdated, so they're going to have to be redone. Now, that I don't know if that's going to be your cost or our cost, because you fulfilled your commitment to the plans. But for the construction, the right-of-way access and everything, you need to talk. And again, and I will back up, because my whole life was out there on 162. You have to do it now, yesterday. Yeah. There is no tomorrow.
Well,
it's a capacity.
In particular, we have at least about 225 new lots that are pending approval.
Right. Yeah. And please keep in mind, as you're the board that will bear the brunt of this,
okay,
Rudy Creek is unique. And why it's unique is because it's adjacent within feet of a creek, a receiving water. That very same creek runs into a wildlife area that runs into the river, okay?
Yeah.
It's a royal flush.
Yeah, it was a
mess. Literally, right?
But environmentally, it would be horrible.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's a priority, gentlemen, and I told Lynn I would recommend moving this up.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Sure.
That's going to be that's a pretty big undertaking. That's going to be a whole new station.
I believe it will.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't believe that's an upgrade the current scenario situation. I believe that will be a complete
5-foot station, or is it 5-foot diameter?
Yes.
Actually, down deeper.
I believe so. Yeah. And it's a wet well, dry well scenario.
Oh my gosh!
Every time, all the pumps, everything's down below. So anytime any service needs to be done on anything, it's a confined space requirement. It's an old antiquated station.
That's just asking for trouble.
Exactly, it's an old antiquated station. So I just wanted to give you guys on my manager's report the heads up that I need to push forward. I need to start investigating what it's going to take.
Good idea.
Obviously, as costs come, then you guys will see those.
Right. We're ready. We're aware.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to give you guys the heads up and ask permission to go ahead and start chasing that dog. So.
All right. Is there any other questions of the manager? Visitor comments? None, because there's nobody here. Commissioner and staff, Ray, you have anything?
You know, just give me 2 seconds here. I feel bad about tonight with Kroger, Richard. You know, we had scrambled eggs tonight on this. This kind of fell out of the sky. One of the things we haven't been able to sit down and talk about with Glenn and Micah is task orders and how you use them to make sure that all your task orders are in place. You see how simple Jacobs was versus P&P? And with all the years I've had here, the many firms I've dealt with, you confine everything to task orders, that clarifies everything, and then when a task order is met, you know, submitted to him, he reviews. For some reason, when we talked about this briefly, I think in October, I seen Scott wasn't doing that. I didn't mean to say Scott, past management wasn't doing it. And you get lost in the weeds. So gentlemen, I will take upon myself to sit down with these guys when we get time after the budget thing, and this won't happen again. And I apologize, we haven't been able to get to it yet. And it did fall out of the sky, but I feel bad.
No, I feel bad too.
I really do.
It was not a good look.
I appreciate that, because
I haven't had enough time, but we will do it. I promise you guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It just seems to be a very relaxed relationship with these guys and past management. And I'm sorry, we're dealing with people's money. I don't want to be standing up front with a stupid answer.
Gentlemen, our goal is to make it easier.
Nobody else does either.
Yep.
Right. No, I mean, I think at the end of the day, obviously, I think we're going to have to pay that. But yeah, I think moving forward, it needs to be, and I like the question. I think maybe you brought that up, is why are we using them for that? And I think that's something that we definitely need to look at moving forward in the future.
I think it just, the relationship got very relaxed and it was easy to say, yeah, we got this coming up. Hey, well, I'll do it. Oh yeah, you want to do it?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If I can put in my two cents to, and this worried me from day one, and I did not know this happened, and I expressed it to Glenn. The large project, the $50 million project, which it's going to be up there. All that should have been under one umbrella, one roof. Why past management decided to separate that and have this person look for funding for this person's project, costing you money for just them to talk, is ludicrous.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm afraid these guys may suffer, you may suffer, things are going to be lost in the weeds. This is very complex. I think you've got the documents, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's complex. Mm-hmm. It's huge. And I think this was just absolutely the wrong way to go. And I don't think it should have ever went this way. I used Ken for years. I used him for little stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, little stuff like that. He did help me on the interceptor stuff. And we did have a few problems, but all in all, I tried to stay on top of it. And I'm going to shut up now, but I'm concerned about this, the way past management got this arranged.
It doesn't look right.
I think your best words were task order. Where's the task order? Task order, using that as an order.
And that's how you keep the disciplines in line,
exactly.
and you review them under that number. And mm-hmm. and we just haven't had time. We'll get to it.
Yeah, good idea.
Micah, do you have anything?
No, I think everything was covered. Glenn mentioned the grant today. The email that we received on the grant was a draft grant agreement. So, I mean, that's some progress, but not what we wanted.
Was it a check, huh?
No, it was a 54-page legal document that I promptly forwarded to somebody else.
Scott, do you have anything? Commissioner Reynolds?
You know what? I'm feeling good about this. The whole team, you know, it just feels like everyone is doing their part and paying attention, and I think we're in good hands, because I'll tell you what, it was very concerning not too long ago getting ready to enter into a $50-60 million project, and we're getting blank stares. So I really feel good about what's going on now.
Mm-hmm.
So, thank you, everyone.
Team. Anything, Commissioner Pittman?
No, I agree.
I'm good, but it took longer than 15 minutes.
Glenn?
I have nothing.
Okay, it is 6:42, meeting adjourned. Sorry, gentlemen.